in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the April 27th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. As I reflect on my nearly 33-year career at the Voice of America, I can honestly say I don't think I've ever covered the sport of arm wrestling. And yet, the sport has competitions in Africa, Asia, Europe, and all over the world, as well as major international sanctioning bodies. In popular culture, Sylvester Stallone, best known for his series of Rocky boxing movies, portrayed a champion arm wrestler in the 1987 film Over the Top. Charles Osei Asibe is the president of the Ghana Arm Wrestling Federation. Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori asked Charles how he became interested in the sport.
Kwabena, seriously, it came as a dream, you know. Knowing me, my background as a journalist and as a marketing person, you know, we went around doing events around arm wrestling. It got to a point we realized that per the interest, it could be more than an event. So we engaged the National Sports Authority, and they gave us the mandate to manage and promote arm wrestling in Ghana. So in 2016, myself and a few friends came together at precisely September, and then the National Sports Authority inaugurated the Ghana Arm Wrestling Federation as the 40th federation in Ghana. Beyond that, we took the mantle trying to promote arm wrestling in all the corners of this country. But for the president, adding on six more regions would have done about 90% of the regions. We have taken arm wrestling to the Western region, to Ashanti region, to the Bunahafo region. We're in Greater Accra. We've gone to the Central region. We're here to go to the Volta. But like I said, but for the add-ons of the regions, would have done about 90%, you know, introducing the sport. Generally, it hasn't come easy, but we are proud of what we have done so far.
When were you affiliated to the International Arm Wrestling Federation?
Well, in 2016, when the National Sports Authority, through the ministry, accepted us, same year we got affiliated to the Africa Arm Wrestling Federation, and then we worked so fast because we were in touch with the World Arm Wrestling Federation. So again in 2016, we were affiliated to the World Arm Wrestling Federation. So in 2017, we went for our first world championship in Bulgaria. In Hungary. In 2017, we went to Hungary. 2018, we went to the world championship in Turkey. 2019, we were in Romania. 2020, we don't yet know. But so far, when we got affiliated to the World and Africa Federations, we have been to championship hosted by Africa and the world.
You did all within some few years.
Yes.
What was the strategy?
Well, we have done this in less than, let's say, 3 years. Mm-hmm. The strategy, one, it's just planning. You know, my background is media. I do marketing, so I understand how to brand or position products. With the support of the board, we worked so hard to make sure that arm wrestling has become popular. We invested money and time. Now, in Africa, currently, we have won about 138 medals for Ghana, about 66% of that being gold. So we are a strong force in Africa in 3 years. We haven't won a world championship medal yet, but we are very confident that by next year we should be able to win that medal for Ghana. So the strategy basically is planning and then investment of time and money.
Talking about gender balance, and you have the female section.
It will interest you to know that our female dominate Africa arm wrestling. The North Africans are good, but they don't have females doing arm wrestling. So we only compete with Nigeria, South Africa, Mali, Cameroon, and the rest. Our females have dominated Africa Arm Wrestling. And as we speak, Ghana is proud to say that we are the only country that has a female referee in the whole of Africa. So that's how fast we are developing the sport. That's how good we're involving ladies to play the sport.
That's Charles Osai Asibe, the president of the Ghana Arm Wrestling Federation. And Charles spoke with Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori in Accra, Ghana.
Hi, my name is Daniel Igale, president of the Nigeria Wrestling Federation, world and Olympic champion. I want to say a big shout out to the Sunny Side of Sports. Thank you.
Make a difference by honoring ordinary people doing extraordinary things to help one another. VOA encourages you to tell us about everyday people who have shown leadership in your communities during the coronavirus crisis. Submit your nominations to VOA Leaders at voanews.com. Send us your name, phone number, and email, and a VOA reporter will contact you. We're all in this together.
Dear respected friends, sports greetings. This is Milutin Mitros-Redovic, coach of Zambia national football team Chipolo Polo and former national coach of Uganda Cranes. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, coach. Prince Nesta joins us now with a package of African sports news. And Prince says he'll be kicking off with a Togolese football star. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. Former Arsenal and Manchester City striker Emmanuel Adebayo has defended his refusal to donate to Togo capital Lomé's coronavirus battle and distanced himself from fellow African football stars Didier Drogba and Samuel Eto'o. Speaking on a Facebook Live video, the 36-year-old who now plays for Olympia in Paraguay said, and I quote, "I'm sorry that people compare me to Samuel Eto'o and Didier Drogba by asking me why I don't have a foundation or why I don't donate as if I was the one who brought the coronavirus to Togo. I'm neither the one nor the other. I am me, Shey Emmanuel Adebayo, and I will always do what I want. A word of advice for the guys regarding donations. I will not do that." Adebayo was earning as much as $218,000 a week while at the Etihad Stadium and has amassed millions across the span of his professional career. Togo has 88 confirmed COVID-19 cases and 6 people have died from the virus. And Sunny, talking about donations, let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to a host of high-profile African athletes around the world who've been generous enough to provide aid to those impacted by the pandemic. Cameroon legend Samuel Eto'o has donated relief packages to his country with items such as food, soaps, sanitizers, and protective equipment included. Chelsea icon Didier Drogba has offered his hospital in his native Ivory Coast as a treatment center for novel coronavirus patients. NBA Charlotte Hornets star Bismack Biyombo also supported his home country of the Democratic Republic of Congo by donating over $1 million worth of medical supplies, including 10,000 face masks and 780 hazmat suits. Cameroonian basketball player Joel Embiid of the Philadelphia 76ers reportedly donated $500,000 to coronavirus relief and helping team workers who have had their salary temporarily cut due to coronavirus outbreak. Watford striker Danny Welbeck also donated a $12,500 relief package to the residents of his mother's hometown in Ghana, while Liverpool forward Sadio Mane has also shown incredible generosity to his native Senegal amid the coronavirus outbreak. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. And moving on to the English Premier League, Everton have condemned Italian forward of Ivorian descent Moise Kean after he appeared to disregard coronavirus lockdown restrictions by hosting a house party. Everton say they were quote-unquote appalled to learn of an incident in which a first-team player ignored government guidance and club policy in relation to the coronavirus crisis and strongly expressed its disappointment to the player. The 20-year-old has had a disappointing first season at Everton following a $31 million summer move from Juventus, having scored only one Premier League goal. Keane is the latest Premier League player to breach lockdown guidelines in a country that has seen more than 20,000 people dying with coronavirus, according to the Department of Health. The other players include Kylie Walker, who's waiting for any disciplinary action from Manchester City after reportedly breaking lockdown rules by hosting a party, while Tottenham's Ivorian defender Serge Aurier and French footballer of Malian descent Moussa Sissoko apologized for training together despite their coronavirus restrictions. And finally, in basketball, Matur Makir, a 6'11" Kenyan-born Australian living in the United States, is reportedly entering the 2020 NBA draft. Agile at nearly 7 feet, Makir has caught the attention of NBA teams with his ability to handle the ball in the open court and create shots for himself. The 19-year-old was born in Kenya to South Sudanese parents. Immigrated to Australia in 2001 until leaving for California in 2015. He joined his cousins, Detroit Pistons forward Ton Makir and Matur Makir in Ontario, and was homeschooled from 2016 to 2018 while attending showcases in the United States. Makir's recruiting profile increased with his play on the summer AAU circuit with Dream Vision, averaging 14.7 points, 7.9 rebounds, and one block in 27 minutes per game. He shot 73% from two-point range, 30% from three, and 61% from free throw line. The NBA draft is currently set for June 25th in Brooklyn, but it's unclear if that date will stand based upon the NBA's shutdown due to the coronavirus pandemic. Reporting for the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Prince Nesta in Eugene, Oregon.
Thanks, Prince. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Prince mentioned the 2020 NBA draft. More than half a dozen Nigerian players could feature in the draft. So says former NBA player Olumide Oyedeji. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, Olumide said he's excited about their draft prospects.
For Nigerian players that made the move to join the NBA draft in 2020, I mean, it's a great move, a very wonderful move. And I probably believe this is going to be one of the first time that Nigeria will ever have about 7 and 8 players just declared for the NBA draft. 2 days ago, we just had about another kid from University of Memphis, from Port Harcourt, that just got declared. We already had a player from USC, another one from Auburn. We have all these declaring for the draft. Onwara declared for the draft. Is a great one, and I'm very, very happy and very delighted to see all these younger first generation or second generation Nigerians, as long as they're Nigerian. So very glad and very excited.
Do you have players from your basketball foundation going for this year's draft?
I don't have any players this year that will be going to NBA draft. So, but a couple of them, I follow them towards the course of their career. I think we only have Achioma, who's the only one that left Nigeria to the U.S. from University of Memphis. But all the rest players were all born in the U.S.
Do you think the NBA draft scheduled for June 25th in New York will be postponed?
Definitely NBA draft in New York will be postponed. I don't think there's going to be draft this year by June 25. While NBA not yet even started the playoff, they are not finished the season. And the draft always come at the end of the season. So this year, I think that the draft might be different. They're more likely going to do the virtual draft. I'm sure you saw what NFL did. You saw what the WNBA did also. But I don't think there's going to be any walkout this year due to coronavirus pandemics that's going on right now. But for sure, the June 25 NBA draft 2020 would not be, it would definitely be postponed. So I believe the date would likely going to be maybe after they know what's going on with the games, with the playoff, and the schedule come out. So that's when I'm sure they're likely going to fix the date for the 2020 NBA draft.
Brooklyn Nets point guard Spencer Dinwiddie is working to get a Nigerian passport to play for Nigeria at the Olympic Games. What's your reaction to this move?
Oh, well, for an NBA player who does not have a tie to Nigeria, wants to get an Nigerian passport and play for the Nigeria. I mean, well, the young man wants to achieve his dream and play in the Olympics. I have nothing against that. So for me personally, I would love giving the opportunity to the homegrown player or to the players who have an Nigerian descendants. So personally, I mean, I will not do that. But notwithstanding, if that's what I want to do, I respect the young man, Spencer, for doing what he want to do. But I probably believe that if he wants to do that, he should have joined the team in the World Cup, not just only when he qualified for the Olympics. So what happened if we didn't have a player to play in the qualifier? What happened if we didn't have the players to play in the World Cup? So who's gonna qualify for the Olympics? So for me, if you want to come out there, go all the way to the Olympics, I think we have to start from the scratch like every other person did. So good addition on the point guard slot, but the moral justification, I don't think is the best.
That's former NBA player Olumide Oyedeji, who captained Team Nigeria at the 2012 London Olympics. And Olumide spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Lagos, Nigeria.
Hi, everyone. It's Taco Fall. I just wanted to say that now's the time to practice kindness and empathy towards everyone around you. We're all doing our best to get through this together, so make sure you do your part. Grab a book, read it to your nieces and nephews on video chat, make a donation of canned goods to your local food bank, or even add some items to your shopping cart for your elderly neighbors. But most importantly, don't forget to just pick up the phone and call somebody and check in. That may mean a lot. You never know. We all can't be next to each other right now, but we still can show how much we care about one another. So visit NBATogether.com and join us in inspiring acts of caring. Thank you.
Thank you, Taco. That's Senegalese center Taco Fall of the Boston Celtics. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. The London Marathon was originally scheduled to take place on Sunday, but it was postponed to October 4th due to the coronavirus pandemic. London's race director is optimistic of another exciting event this year, as we hear now from VOA's Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Eliud Kipchoge of Kenya and Kenenisa Bekele of Ethiopia are considered two of the greatest distance runners in history. They were set to go head-to-head for the first time in 5 years, but fans eager to witness their showdown will have to wait. But race director Hugh Brasher says, despite the delay, he's determined to give the people and the runners what they want.
Our desire, there are so many factors involved. Our desire is undiminished to make that matchup happen. It's the matchup the world wants to see. Both those incredible athletes at the peak of their performance coming to London. They were sprinting it out on the mile, having dueled it out for 26.2 miles. I mean, it just, who knows what would happen. But we would love that matchup to happen at some stage.
For now, the London Marathon has been rescheduled to take place in October, but Brasher says that depends on whether or not the coronavirus outbreak is contained.
We are scenario planning so many different possibilities. You know, the speed of change that's going on in society at the moment, the information that's coming out of the government, coming out of the scientists, is incredibly difficult to keep up with. We are, you know, even in the last 24 hours, we probably had 6 scenarios we were playing around with. We've now got 10, and I'm sure in the next 24 hours we'll probably be adding another 4. So, you know, we have to look at this really holistically. It has to be what is right for society. It has to be what's right for our volunteers, for the spectators, for the athletes, and the participants. You know, the marathon is far more than people running 26.2 miles. It's really humanity coming together, and the emotion of the day, the emotion of the journey that people go on that day.
The London Marathon is widely recognized as one of the world's greatest running events, and it has helped raise over $1 billion for charity in its near 40-year history. This year, charitable organizations have been particularly hard hit by the six-month delay. So, race directors established the 2.6 challenge in place of Sunday's marathon. And ahead of the event, Brasher expressed hope that the challenge would inspire participants to raise money from their homes.
It was the industry coming together, understanding the impact on charities and saying, what could we do to help? It is £4 billion is the impact, and the government's given $750 million. It's a huge amount of money, but hopefully we can inspire people through the challenge, through doing whatever you want with a 2 and a 6 in it. Whether you want to pull 260 weeds, whether you want to walk 2.6K, whether you want to skip 26 times. My six-year-old daughter is doing 26 one-handed cartwheels. Do it for fun, but do it for a charity.
Well, as of this report, those who participated completed enough tasks to raise over $8 million. Brasher says many ideas for charitable activities are being evaluated, but he sees the 2.6 challenge as a positive first step.
We want to do what's right for society. The marathon plays an important part in Britain's culture and Britain's architecture. And we have a real responsibility to society, and we have to act appropriately. And the charity fundraising that's losing out, 66 million is what we raised last year. And those charities, you know, they're potentially losing 4 billion as a result of the necessary social distancing measures that are happening. And we can play an important part in raising awareness of that, and in trying to get people to raise funds in a different way, which is what Sunday's 2.6 challenge is all about. It's not just Sunday, it's Sunday and beyond.
And fans are looking forward to this year's highly anticipated London Marathon, along with a matchup between Eliud Kipchoge and Kenenisa Bekele. Kenyan Bridget Koske, the world's fastest female marathon runner, is set to defend her title. Whether or not the marathon takes place on October 4th remains a bit uncertain. But Brasher says what is certain is the impact the London Marathon has on the sport.
We don't know what's going to be happening with travel restrictions. We don't know what's going to be happening in the countries that they live in and train in. So, you know, the London Marathon likes putting together the greatest field. It likes having competition. And we had the greatest field, I think, ever in any marathon in the history of marathon running. I don't think ever there had been the current world record holder of the men's and the women's marathon. Of the men's and women's wheelchair races, the fastest wheelchair races in the world. All four of those athletes were competing, were due to compete on Sunday. And we would love to recreate that again. We would absolutely love to. The 40th anniversary, it's a special race.
And that is all from me for now, Sonny. I'll hand it back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. A handball referee in Tunisia's coastal town of Naboul is issuing red, yellow, and blue cards to citizens who violate social distancing rules in an effort to protect the public and spread coronavirus awareness. 19-year-old Abdelhak Etlili takes to the streets every day, flashing his cards along the way. Etlili will issue red, yellow, or blue warning cards to people, depending how close they are to other people. The handball referee says he is supporting the national effort in his own way, hoping that people will take care of themselves and realize the coronavirus is very dangerous. Finally, let's give a Sunny Side of Sports birthday salute to Hall of Fame basketball player George Gervin. nicknamed the Iceman for his cool demeanor on the court. Gervin was born April 27, 1952, in Detroit, Michigan. The Iceman was primarily known for his scoring talents. His trademark shot was his finger roll. And that wraps up the April 27th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues.
It's about listening to them
and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.